Love the night? Reach for Zin After Dark, a limited cocktail-inspired series for those who get up when the sun goes down. Try Zin's Mojito, Spiced Cider, and Espresso Martini nicotine pouches. Find them at select retailers. Available while supplies last. Zin After Dark. Bring on the night. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Hey, y'all, and how's it going? I'm your host, Kyle Filson, and standing in studio, or sitting, is my co-host, Cameron Hale. Cam, how's it going?
Lovely, sir. Right? Lovely.
Let's start the show like we always do, talking about the weather like two old men. man, last week, it was pretty darn cold down here. I mean, colder than normal. What was shocking was that it was supposed to be in the 70s, so I was kind of looking forward to the upcoming baseball tournament. And then
wrong.
A blue northern blew in and it was like 20 degrees. It was, you know, damp. It would be really cold, but not cold enough for snow for whatever reason. I guess way up high, it's warmer than it was down on the ground. Mm-hmm. But it was just miserable. And so basically, we had a baseball tournament in Plano. You know what kind of ball fields they have in Plano?
I think you told me the other day whenever we were on the show. And it Plano ball fields?
Yeah, Plano ball fields. And, We lost the first game 9-0. We won the second game 9-2. It was just bitterly cold. The kids didn't want to be there. The parents didn't want to be there. And then they called the whole thing off. So it was ridiculous. Also, I booked a hotel, right? Like I do every time when we go to these things. Never had a problem before. We get there. Guess what? They don't have my confirmation number. So they're like, no, man, we ain't got no room for it. I'm like, oh, great. What am I going to do now? So this was in between the games. There was two games we had that day. So I was like trying to talk to the guy, but I'm like, I got to hurry up because I got to get back for the second game. And I go out to the car to tell my wife and the kids, hey, look, they lost our confirmation number. I'll have to look for a hotel room after the next ball game. And she was like, well, do they have any here? And I was like, well, let me go run in real quick and ask because I'm already here. So I went back in and the guy goes, oh, thank God you came back in. I just found your name. I was like, oh, great. Problem solved. He's like, well, not really. I found your name, but I don't have your confirmation number or any of your information that shows that you've already paid for the room, right? Because I've already paid for the room $150 something. And I was like, well, do you have any other rooms here? And he was like, well, yeah, but I can't give it to you for that discounted price. When you went to Trivago or whatever website you used, they give you a discount. I was like, well, how much more is it going to be? He's like, about $30 higher. I was like, fine, it's cold, I'm wet, I don't care about the $30, just book it. So, and I was like, but what about the money I've already spent? And he's like, well, you're going to have to take that up with hotels.com because that's who you booked it through. It's none of our concern. So I'm like, oh, great. So anyways, we went to the ball game. Mm-hmm. We won the game. We went to dinner. We came back and everybody showered up and everything. So I was like, well, I better call hotels.com and start trying to, you know, get some of my money back. See what I could do about a refund. So they put you with customer service. Now, look, I'm not complaining. But customer service is outsourced to another country, okay? Mm-hmm. So the fella I'm talking with, I'm guessing is in India or Sri Lanka, Pakistan. I don't know, but instantly the guy's like, hello, my name is Scott. And I'm like, first off, your name's not Scott. Yes, it is. I'm like, no, look, it's not Scott. All right, you're right. It's Sunil. I'm like, all right, Sunil, we're starting out. We're getting better. And I told him the situation. And he's like, oh,
well, don't lie to me, bro. Come on, let's go.
I apologize for that. And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, something happened. I don't know. So then he's like, well, do you mind if I call the hotel to confirm the story you're giving me? So I'm like, sure, go ahead. So he's like, let me put you on hold. He puts me on hold. He calls the hotel and he comes back on. He's like, yes, Mr. Filson, I called the hotel and they said that you did in fact check in. So you are checked in. I'm like, no. And I had to re-explain it like three times.
Didn't
I'm
work
like,
out
look,
good.
My original room I prepaid for 5 days ago. They told me they did not get the confirmation number. Oh, so then I went ahead and booked another room. So now I've booked and paid for two rooms. However, I'm only staying in the one that I paid for when I arrived here. Oh, that is a problem. I'm like, yeah, you think. Luckily, with his sound of voice, they seem to know a lot about the hotel business.
So he knocked it out, didn't he?
He was like, let me put you on hold. So anyways, you know, going through circles, about an hour, got resolved. So they're supposed to be crediting my bank account within 7 days. So I'm still awaiting the money. We'll see if it happens. If it happens, no big deal. He made something happened. I don't know if it was a person. I don't know if it was a computer glitch. But if it, you know, I've never had a problem with hotels.com before or with Trivago. I've mm-hmm. used them hundreds of times. And one of the reasons I use hotels.com is because your 10th stay is always free. So it helps out a lot if you're traveling, you know. And I'm not staying at really ritzy hotels. You know, like the kids are always complaining. Mm-hmm. They're like, hey, why don't we, you know, they want to stay at the Four Seasons or like the Waldorf Astoria. I'm like, hey, I don't know who you think we are. You know, that's just like Jacob. All right, he's 11 and Caleb is 2. Obviously, he's the twins. They're starting to get to the age where they're starting to notice cars and kind of get into cars and contemplating what kind of car dad's going to buy them. Well, they're under this illusion.
You're like, y'all are both getting bicycles.
They're going to get one car and they're going to share it. If they don't like that, then I guess they can go get a job and get a different car. But like, I'm buying one car. I'm going to get them a Yugo, I told them. They're like, what's that?
You're like, you'll see.
So they looked it up on Google. And they're like, no. And I was like, hey, but do you know what they call a four-door Yugo? A Wego. But,
they so hate you.
Jacob thinks that he's getting you. A Mustang, like a Shelby Cobra. Caleb thinks he's getting a Corvette ZR1. I'm like, do me and your mother drive exotic sports cars? Why would I drive a 2012 Ford Fusion and buy you a Shelby Cobra? Well, I mean, like, what sense does that make? I go, first of all, even if I had the money, I wouldn't do it. Second of all, you couldn't afford the insurance.
You're raising ballers over here.
They're just under this illusion that's what they're getting. I'm like, no, you'll probably get a piece of garbage like I had. My first car, even though, when I was 16, it was junk. I'm not talking about the Comet that I built. That took a couple years. But like the initial car I had to drive before the Comet was finished was a 1981 Ford Granada.
Mm-hmm. Don't hate on that car.
It was like 45 feet long. Yeah. It was like the ugliest yellow like this that you could possibly get. Knowing my grandpa and how cheap he was, they probably discounted the price of it because of that nasty of color. But hey, look, I got that thing for like $300.
I used to always tell him, save some girls for the rest of us, playa.
Yeah. I was happy. I could come and go. I could go to my friend's house. I could go to the football games. I could do whatever I wanted. Yeah, it was a beater, but who cares? I'd run into like the poles at the drive-thru at Arby's. You wouldn't even care. You'd be just like, oh, well. You know. And then when I got the other car, remember we would put motorcycle helmets on and jump it in the fields.
I remember that.
My mom was like,
mom still got video of that.
I'm sure she does. In those archives. But my mom was like, you're tearing up your car. I'm like, no one's going to buy it. I only paid like $300 for it.
I remember going and getting mouthpieces and then putting full face motorcycle helmets on.
Well, and before the engine crapped out, we had planned on welding a roll bar in there, like a roll cage.
We ended up knocking out all the glass.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the kind of stuff you do when you grew up in the country and you're bored. Anyway, so we had an action-packed, nasty, cold weekend at the baseball fields. And this was just a team that Jacob was filling in for. It wasn't his original team. Now, this coming weekend, he's going to be playing for the first tournament of the season with his regular team. And I was looking on the boards and stuff, and it looks like their team's already ranked like 20th in the state, which is pretty good.
Yeah, not bad,
considering,
huh?
How many teams there are in the state of Texas in that bracket. So, yeah. You know, it's all relative to how well you do. The coach already said if we win like the first two or three tournaments, then they're going to bump us up to majors. So
yeah,
I'm not sure that we want that even to happen, but we're looking forward to it. And the weekend, the weather looks like it's going to be nice, like 70 degrees. So it's supposed to be, we'll be playing in the town of Argyle, Texas, on Saturday, and Colleyville on Sunday. I've never been to either one of those fields, but those are both pretty wealthy towns, so I imagine the fields are probably nice.
Pretty nice.
I have been to Argyle before with my wife because we went to the world's largest like iris farm or something, and you would think it would be really neat, but they just look like lots of bulbs, iris bulbs, and so it looks like a turnip with no flower on it. You know, when you buy them, they're not.
It's just a building full of massive piles of turnips is what you're telling me.
My wife has a really green thumb, and she's into plants. As you've noticed when you come to my house, I mean, there's plants everywhere. There's heat lamps. If the DEA rolls by, it looks like I got a grow going in my garage, but I don't, and sometimes I'll open it up and be like, look, it's just
like this poor guy's wife is crazy.
Yeah, but so that's what I'm. That's what's going on in my world. Also, before we move to what's going on in Cam's world, Caleb, my other son, competed in his first archery tournament, an indoor shoot.
Mm-hmm.
He was nervous about going to it, and I'd been asking him for weeks if he'd like to do it, and he'd always be like the last minute, no, you know. And I was like, so I just signed him up, and I said, hey, let's go shoot at the range. And when we got to the range, I was like, oh yeah, just by the way, you're competing in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, you got to shoot. Get ready.
So he's like, okay. He did good. He got first place for his age, age group. So he did good. So he had so much fun that I decided to get him a new bow. Now, he had just gotten a new bow at Christmas.
Yeah.
But it was like a lower end bow. And I didn't want to get him that at first. I tried to talk him out of it. But then I'm like, why am I trying to talk him out of something he wants? That'd be like you telling me you want a pair of Vortex binoculars, me constantly showing you, no, man, you probably need to go loopholed or something. Yeah. If that's what you want, that's what you want. And it's cheaper. So we went with it. But there's only so far you can go and before you need an upgrade. So I bought him the new upgrade. This is a much better bow. This is an adult bow. If you want to check it out, if you're getting into archery, it's a great bargain. It's like $399. It comes with the bow, the quiver, the sight, the rest, a stabilizer, everything $399. Pretty good deal. It's a Bear Cruiser G2, I believe. They come in a lot of different colors, and they have draw weights from 15 pounds up to 70. That one bow will do all that.
And it's an undertow camo.
That's what it is.
It's what he had to inform me. It's not camouflage. It's blue, but it's a blue camouflage and, called undertow.
You can go draw length, I think, is like 20 up to 30 inches. So, I mean, it'll do anything from an adult to a kid.
Yeah.
But I always got to remind myself, like we've talked about it before on shows with the outfits and the uniforms and the costumes. With the kids, it's all about the look.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the main focus. Like he'll look at a piece of equipment at the range and be like, oh, can I get one of those on my bow? I'm like, well, that's not really for this. That's for like a recurve. I don't care. It looks cool. That's why I want it.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, but nobody does that. But I want to do it. And you just have to go through that rigmarole. So anyway, so we got the new bow. We set it up. I even gave him like a nice Sherlock scope. I gave him some stuff that I haven't been using, right, to put on there. And it was on his first day it came in. Of course, he wanted to go up. It came in on the anniversary, on Fred Bear's
birthday.
Birthday is the day the bow arrived. So it's a bear bow. So I thought that was kind of cool. But we had baseball practice. So my wife took Caleb to the range to get his bow set up for him while me and Jacob went to Granbury for baseball. So I'm having her send me pictures while we're there. So I get home and I'm all excited to talk to him about it. And I'm like, well, how did it go?
And
I don't like it. I'm like, well, what do you mean you don't like it? I thought you'd be excited to shoot this thing. He didn't like it. And I started, well, like, what don't you like? Well, I don't like the wall on this one. I don't like the valley on it. I don't like the way it draws. I mean, he does a lot of little things. And I was like, okay, then that's fine. I go, it's probably just, it's out of your comfort zone. It's something new. You're going to have to get, acquainted with the new setup and you'll be shooting good. Later, he's just like, and it's part of this culture now where kids thinks everything happens instantly.
Yeah.
He was like, I just thought I was going to pull out of the box and I'd be driving tacks. And I'm like, well, that's not the way it works, Caleb.
I wished it was.
It's not the equipment. It's you. It's the archer. It's not the arrow. It's the Indian. You have to practice and you'll make it work. So that was yesterday. Today, he seemed a little bit more excited about it. And he kind of told me this morning, I didn't mean to upset you, Dad. I do like it. I'm just not used to it. So let's work towards getting better with it. I'm like, that's a great attitude. Let's do that. So that's what's been going on in my world. I know if you don't care about baseball or archery or anything, you probably don't care. Or you don't give a hoot, but, it is kind of comical, to see the ups and downs and emotions with your children, because I'm the same way. Even as an adult, I'll find myself getting mad and then I'll be like, what are you doing? You're getting mad about ridiculous stuff.
I'm getting aggravated about nothing.
First world problems, right? Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, I'm just like a kid. I ordered a dozen special arrows like 4 weeks ago, and I'm like chomping at the bit every day they're not here. I'm like, what's the deal? I look at the guy on Instagram. He's on a hunt. I'm like, hey, I don't mind the hunting. That's cool and all, but could you have your mom ship my arrows to me? You don't have any employees?
You're not married? You don't have like your
then
wife?
I have to remember to settle down. When I was a kid, you would have to, if you wanted something like that, you would look through a catalog.
Or a comic book in the back.
You would order it. And
you'd wait.
And you didn't have the ability to zoom in and look at the different color options. You just have to read it in print. And then it might be 6 to 8 weeks before it came.
Yeah.
Remember cash on delivery? You had to
do them CODs.
You had to pay them when they got you. The mailman had to collect the money. I mean, there was this whole thing.
Dude, that was so crazy.
The technology is corrupting me as well, because I'm like, well, I ordered it 3 days ago. Where is it? You get used to Amazon. Yeah. You're like, what? I have to wait 4 days.
Like when you've ordered something on Amazon and you get up the next morning and you're out on your front porch at like 7 and it's already there. You're like, wait a minute.
That's what I'm like.
I just ordered it like yesterday. I'm like, where did y'all... Are y'all having my house bugged?
I'm like, that's why Jeff Bezos is worth 300 something billion.
That's right.
Because you can order something that's there.
Billion with two L's.
Yeah. But Yeah. So like when I was a kid, you'd have to wait 6 to 8 weeks. Now 3 days is a problem.
Yeah. You're pissed. You're like, come on, man. I'm paying for Prime.
Yeah. Actually, I'm paying for the whole family's Prime. I didn't know if you knew this, but like around Christmas time, I got a whole bunch of in-laws that all of a sudden want my Amazon Prime stuff so they can get all their Christmas shopping for free shipping on my dime. And I'm like, oh, I like that.
But you don't get any extra gifts for it.
No. You're no. Right. You're like everybody just all of a sudden.
What you need to do is make a wish list on that Prime thing. And you tell everybody like, yeah, you can use it. But when you log in, go to my wish list. You have to pick something off my wish list.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. That's the way you have to do it. Yeah. Or tell them, you have to go look at my wish list and buy something, and I have to see that you're sending me a gift. When it always asks, is this a gift? And then when I see that it's a gift, then I will let you log into my Amazon Prime.
Yeah. Do you ever have a friend that knows that you have, like, Fox Sports or account or, like, ESPN Plus or something? They kind of hinting, but they don't have the guts to ask you, and they're just like, oh, you're watching that? Oh.
I've had people ask
you, you mind giving up your login credentials? You know, and then you're just like... So you want me to pay for your entertainment? That's what you're saying, right?
Why don't I just take you to the movies with me?
Yeah. Paul, maybe if you worked a little harder, then you could have ESPN Plus. So no, the answer is no.
Yeah. I'll just get up and go to the movies with you. I'll come by and pick you up. I'll cook you a brisket for your birthday. Okay. If you'll schedule my birthday party.
Yeah. Yeah, right. What is that? I remember that happened. What a ridiculous scenario. What a ridiculous scenario.
Just complete
people
madness.
Don't know what I'm talking about, so I'll bring it up.
I won't mention the fellow's name.
But all right, I won't mention it.
No.
There was something else I was going to tell you. I know this is all me talking.
It was Fred Bear's birthday.
Yeah, that's one thing. Luke Perry passed away.
Yeah.
My wife was very upset. She was like, don't you remember him? And I was like, no, I don't think I do. She's like, I was like, where would I know him from? She was like, 90210. And I was like,
he's right here, folks. He's trying to play it off like he never watched that.
No, I was like, I don't think I ever remember that show. And then I was thinking of Friends or something. I didn't watch that either. So I was like, no, you remember, I didn't have cable television or whatever network that was even on. I was like, no, I don't really remember that. But then I remembered the movie 8 Seconds.
There you go.
I was like, that's where I've seen him. Yep. That's a great movie. Didn't he have a stroke or something?
He had a massive stroke, like a little bit back, and never recovered from it.
Man, that's terrible.
And then who was it? Keith Flint. Keith Flint died.
Mm.
The lead singer, Prodigy.
That's right. Yeah.
He passed away.
I'm a forest daughter, terrific forest daughter, or something like that.
I love that song.
I don't remember the other one. Breathe or something like that.
Yeah. Breathe with me.
I remember they would always play that at like the intermission, like at hockey games and stuff.
Yeah.
When I was playing ice hockey. They'd always play that. Like, that's what I remember that from. Yeah. Man, there was something else I was going to tell you, and I don't remember what it was. What have you been doing? What's the last week or two been like for you?
Nothing.
Nothing exciting.
You've been doing all that stuff. My niece gets married Friday. Like I talked about, we've done some stuff with that. But yeah, one of my nieces gets married Friday. And her fiance that is a Marine, and he and my son have grown up together, literally grown up like they were little kids, you know, and wrestled together on the wrestling team and the whole thing. My son's the best man. So we're doing all that. So it's going to be a big family ordeal, and we're looking forward to that. I'm not doing that wedding.
Oh, no. Okay.
They asked me to, but then they wanted to include another one of their wrestling buddies that is a real good friend of theirs.
Uh-huh.
And so he got ordained so he could do their wedding. So he's doing their wedding. But they always said like, hey, look, you know, and I'm like, that's fine. But I have like two weddings coming up in May I'm doing.
Yeah. See, people think we're joking, but we're not. Cam actually does weddings.
I've done a bunch of weddings. Yeah.
What is your title? You're an ordained.
Here's the thing. Most places now you don't have to be. You just are the officiant.
I remember back in the day I signed up. I'm actually an archbishop in the Universal Life Church of Modesto, California.
That's where I got my ordination from.
Okay, so what is your...
It's the same thing. That's all it is. I'm just like a...
You're just
an ordained priest of that whole thing.
See, we picked cool names. Like, I'm the archbishop, and I remember my friend Joel was the metropolitan.
Yes, yeah. You can still get a bunch of that stuff, I think, of the whole deal.
Yeah, I'm a legit archbishop. I remember my mom was really offended because she's really big into the church, the Russian Orthodox Church.
She didn't like you poking fun at that.
Yeah, she used to think of it as dirt. I'm like, no, I'm not joking. I'm an archbishop in the Universal Life Church. Yeah. And she'd be like, no, it's not funny, Kyle. And I'd be like, I'd show her the card. I'm like, yeah, I'm being serious.
Yeah.
I'm legit. I am an archbishop.
Listen to him. I'm legit.
So I appreciate when you greet me that you kiss my hand and call me your eminence.
The ring. Kiss
that's,
the ring.
That's my title.
Yeah.
I'm entitled to be called your eminence.
Jesus. No wonder she hates you. Even now. There's no wonder.
But you think, okay, right? So she's like, well, that's ridiculous. But then I started like, and of course I used to do this to my mother. I'd be like, well, how is that any more ridiculous than the rules of your religion? Right? It's all really kind of ridiculous. No, you know what I mean?
What was it George Carlin used to say, that the Catholic religion was based solely upon the size of your hat?
I don't know about that.
Because as you go up, the Pope's got a huge hat. You know, as you go up, the cardinals, the bishops, when they all wear those hats, they're all different sizes. And that's what he would say.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, he's got a point.
Yeah. Well, I remember, was it Mark Twain said that religion was formed when the first fool met the first con man. That was one of his famous quotes, you know. Because, like, where do they come up with the rules? Oh, yeah, somebody made it up. So what's the difference?
I do it because I enjoy being at, like, weddings to me are fun.
Absolutely.
Because it's so, and that's the reason I wanted to do it. To be honest, I wanted to do it because I had some friends of ours that were going to have same sex weddings and I didn't get it done. And then they ended up having, and I was like, dude, I want to marry that. Like, that would be cool. I want to conduct one of those. So, cause it's a big party. And then, so as it just grew and then another, and like I said, it just kind of blossomed to where a friend of mine told another friend of mine, and then they had their kids get married and then they want to meet. And then it just kind of boom, 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 and then other family members. And it's just, it's one of those things that you're at a, it comes up and somebody's like, we're going to get married and all that stuff. And you know, we'd like somebody special to do it. And they're like, well, you know, he's ordained. They're like, would you do it? I'm like, yeah, I guess. What do you charge? Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. I'm like, what do you mean? What do I charge? I'm going to takes less than 15 minutes. I'm going to stand up there and talk. Surprise, I do it anyway.
Yeah. So, like, we went to a wedding with the boys, and I was making the boys kind of pay attention to the ceremony. And I'm like, you see the part where it's like that guy, see, he's giving his daughter away.
Oh, no, don't say
this. And like, he's asking about the, like, does anybody have any problems with this to speak now or forever hold your peace? See, nobody has any problems with it. And I said, you know, back in the day, they used to sweeten the pot. They used to give you, like, the groom, like, a couple goats. They give you the daughter and the goats and a couple chickens. I mean, they were like,
just take her.
Right. Trying to. Yeah. And so, like, when we're joking around at the house, like me and my wife are arguing about something, just, you know, playful arguing, I'll say, hey, you're my property. I was there. Your dad gave you away to me. And so the boys were like, yeah, I remember the ceremony. Yeah. You know, so it's kind of funny because, you know, it's all jokes, but I was like,
it's still funny.
It is funny.
Because you know what aggravates her. She's like, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
Look, dude, we got some stuff we got to talk about.
We want to talk to you today about our new sponsor, Robinhood. You want to be like J.P. Morgan? Cam, you want to be maybe John Rockefeller or even Charles Schwab? You want to throw your hat in the ring? Do you want to ball out of control like Jeff Bezos? Then you need to invest now. And with the Robinhood app, it couldn't be any easier. Robinhood lets you invest in the stock market for free, directly from your phone or desktop.
Robinhood lets you buy and sell stocks, exchange traded funds, options, and cryptocurrencies all commission-free. It's simple and intuitive. It has a clear design with data that's presented in an easy-to-digest way. It's a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. Now, I signed up with Robinhood on my iPhone, and it couldn't have been any easier. Really, I'm an idiot, which means if I can do it, then anyone can do it. Everything is straightforward. The app guides you step by step along the way, so setting up your account is simple. That's right. Just learn how to invest as you build your portfolio. Discover new stocks and track favorite companies with personalized news feeds just for you. Now, what many of you listening don't know is that other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade. But Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. You can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Right now, Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. So what are you waiting for? You want to be the next Wolf of Wall Street? Then you got to sign up at expanded.robinhood.com. That's expanded.robinhood.com.
Look, dude, we got some stuff we got to talk about.
Sure, let's get into it.
I can't say keeping up with this stuff, but it's one of those deals that ever since we started the show and then we started covering stuff, we've always done things on flying humanoids, and it's always been really interesting. And it's always something you and I talk about because it's one of those things that you hear all these stories about Bigfoot, and then people are like, well, now there's all this information and all this videos of black bear walking on their back feet, you know, and doing all this. And people are like, well, I guess some of it could have been that, or it could have just been liars in general. People making up stories didn't really happen, you know? So it's kind of muddied the waters if there were, you know, we don't really know, you know? So there is a way that you could kind of misconstrue. But my deal is this with these humanoids. There's no misconstruing a humanoid. There's no mistaking that in the sky. Because what else is it? As a flying person, there's not a bird that looks like a flying person.
No, I was introduced to flying humanoids through my little brother. Like, I had no clue that in Mexico there was these witch sightings all the time. And he'd be like, man, you got to check this out.
Yeah. This way was, back before the show ever started.
Yeah, this was 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And he was really well read on it. And I thought he was making it up at first because we joke around about everything.
Yeah. And your brother's crazy.
And it turns out that there are thousands upon thousands of these sightings. Some of them look like birds. Some of them look like gargoyles.
Well, y'all listeners, we had Albert Rosales on years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He is like the man when it comes to those humanoid sightings. And then when Lon was reporting on all the stuff, what possibly could be the Mothman, I don't know what it is. And then this one popped out here because I was, this one come up because in New Mexico, I'm going to read just the bit of this because I like what it says. Lon just posted it, but then I've got something else I'm going to jump over to so we can discuss this. But it came from this past Tuesday. He had posted a thing about a huge flying creeper humanoid in New Mexico.
Okay.
And this is the account he received from a fella named JP. And it says this. He said, hello, I just want to share an experience my husband had about 6 months or so ago. We live in Rio Rancho, New Mexico, and it was about 8 or 9 o'clock that night. We were planning to go out into our backyard and just chill out to enjoy the cool air and have a small fire. I was inside when this happened, so I didn't see anything. But I was talking to my oldest daughter, and my husband went outside and sat down in a chair. He leaned back and looked up at the sky. And he said what he saw scared him so bad that he just froze. He said he heard absolutely no noise whatsoever, and it was about 8 feet in length, leathery skin, and huge wings. It was about 20 foot above the rooftops of the houses, and he watched it until it went out of sight, so maybe 2 minutes or less. It was flying in a northwest direction. Says his way of describing it was it looked like the creature from Jeepers Creepers. It came flying in the house. This is a he came, rather, not it. He came flying in. Well, that would be horrible as hell, wouldn't it? He came flying in the house, shut the back door, shut the blinds, and was shaking and was white as a sheet. It took me 3 days to get him to finally tell me what he saw, and he doesn't like speaking of it. To this day, he still avoids it when it's brought up. He would not go outside for weeks at night after that, not even to get something from his truck. Says, I'm sharing the story because there's never been something out there. We've been, and this is, or she says, there has to be something rather out there. Says, we've been married for 15 years and never has one of us ever joked around about anything like that.
Well, and if you're with somebody married for 15, you've probably been together longer than that.
Yeah.
You can tell with your partner when they're being serious and when they're just kind of jacking with you. Yeah. Everybody, pokes fun with each other, but. If somebody saw something like that, I don't blame them for not wanting to go outside for a couple days.
No.
But like what could he have possibly seen? And I wonder about this all the time. Is it like an optical illusion? Like, I guess what I'm trying to say is it's not physical. Like they saw it, but it's not, you couldn't touch it if it was standing still. Like it's like the image of this.
Almost like a projection?
Yeah,
like a hologram of something?
Yeah, but I'm not saying somebody's projecting it, but like you see a ghost or you see a spirit.
Yeah.
Could it be something like that? Ethereal. It's not physically there, but yet they still see it. Because there can't be anything physically that looks like the Jeepers Creepers flying around. I mean, how could that be?
Wouldn't somebody else? Yeah, you're right. Where's this thing coming from? And like you said, it can't be physical. It has to be some sort of interdimensional thing. Now, maybe it was physical where it came from.
Absolutely.
Or maybe, like you said, it is ethereal. Maybe it's something that's demonic, or has some sort of religious connotation like we were talking about that it comes. Right. I don't know what it could be, but it's not a flesh and blood creature as we know them.
Right. But maybe it is physical. Maybe there's some kind of wormhole. These things come through them. They fly around. People happen to notice them, then they disappear again. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're around us all the time, but there's the multiverse. The average person can't see them. Mm-hmm. But somebody who's has like a medium who's got a special ability, the ability they were born with, they can see them. I don't know. I mean, you've seen the sightings where people claim to see manta rays flying through the air or jellyfish or something. Or is there some kind of misfiring synapses inside the guy's brain and he's just having a full-on hallucination and it's not real at all? And if me and you were there, his wife, and everybody was standing out in the parking lot when he saw it, we would all be like, we don't see anything, George. I don't know what you're seeing.
Yeah.
Because I mean,
I guess so. Yeah.
I mean, I've seen things or things I've thought I've seen. And then you're like, well, maybe I just dreamt that. Maybe I really didn't put my keys over there.
And I know we've talked about it whenever things make certain shapes and certain sizes and stuff in the woods and things where you instantly believe that that's what it is. You know, you see it and your mind makes it into an outline. You're like, oh, that's what it is. You know, it's a deer, it's a bear, it's a this, it's a that. And then you get to looking closer and it's just a bush and a stump, a couple of limbs. And you're like, oh, you know, that's all it was. But it's, you don't do that in the sky. You know what I mean? There's nothing you can look up and go, you've never mistaken an airplane for anything other than an airplane.
Yeah, well, exactly.
You've never mistaken a buzzard for anything other than a buzzard. You know, it's one of those deals when you see them. So when you see something like that, it always makes, I'm like, what are these flying humanoid things? And why does there seem to be, I need to go back and look because I'm curious as to if this is the only humanoid flap, like the ones we've talked about that have been, that we covered the last year or so that Lon was receiving from Chicago, or if over time and over years that there have been certain areas in certain parts of the U.S. that there were a lot of sightings that have just never been tied together.
Yeah, or maybe they've been happening all over the world and just we never hear about it because the natives or people don't report it.
Yeah, well, and if you don't connect the dots to them, you don't think anything of it. Because if one gets reported, you have to assume several didn't. Mm. And then another one gets reported a year later. Well, then there may have been 15 in between those two reports that happened in that same area that were never reported.
Exactly. So maybe it was a goblin. I mean, according to a recent report.
Uh-oh.
A village in Zimbabwe known as Sigola's Zekwene Village. That's right, folks. Sigola's Zekwene Village is being terrorized again by goblins and have actually set up a crowdfunding program, Cam, in order to raise enough money to hire a powerful goblin-destroying sorcerer to get rid of their problems.
Now, I want to take that class. That's what I want. I want to be a powerful goblin destroyer.
Sorcerer, yes. Now, according to one witness, every morning that we wake up to the death of our cattle. At first, we thought it was a thief, so we took turns in guarding the corrals in the hope of catching the thief. But it was all in vain, the article says, because we never caught anyone. But every morning, we found other dead cows at different homesteads. Now the village chief, known as Chief Sigola, I guess that's why the name of the town is Sigola's Zekwene Village. Chief Sigola, or Sigola, I'm sorry, described his frustrations with these, what he's calling, Cam, invisible goblins that are plaguing their small village. They also believed that these terrible imps have actually killed two children. He says, so far, 30 cattle have been found dead in the area. I have also lost some of my own cattle. I am now seeking divine and traditional interventions to exorcise the entire area.
Let me stop you right there. That's traditional? That's the tradition? Is it okay? Go ahead.
He claims, this is the chief, he claims whether it's goblins or someone using magic, we're all tired and we want the goblins or this person behind all of this to get caught. I've heard complaints that the goblins are also destroying some of the villagers' crops. Now, you have to remember, this is not the first time we've heard of goblins attacking people in Zimbabwe. Apparently, it's a thing in their culture. And have you ever heard of the one called the Tokolashi?
Yes.
That's a famous goblin-like creature that lives in Zimbabwe, who is well-endowed from all accounts. The Tokolashi.
The Tokolashi.
So, I mean, this is another culture from a different part of the world that truly believes that their cattle, their crops are being destroyed and possibly the death of two children are it was the people responsible, the things responsible, are these invisible goblins. And
those damn dirty goblins.
I saw damn a documentary. I saw a Vice documentary years
about
ago.
About donkey sex, the one that you sent me?
No, not that one. Don't bring that one up. About where Vice News was somewhere in Africa, and there was this belief by some of the people that when their young children, you know, 2 to 4 years old, five, would become ill, and they would become ill from just, you know, some type of disease.
Yeah.
They would believe that their child was possessed by something. They would give these local sorcerers or witch doctors money, their life savings.
I swear my kids have been possessed from time to time when they were little. I'm like,
They would give their life savings to these witch doctors to cure their children, and nothing would happen, and their children would die. So instead of seeking modern medicine, They would abandon, like if you had a 2-year-old and you thought it was possessed by something, they would abandon the 2-year-old. They'd just leave it on the street and it would die. And nobody would take it in because everybody would be like, no, that baby's possessed. And meanwhile, the witch doctors, they're making money. I don't know how much.
They're like, oh, we can't save him.
I don't know if it's even
throw him in a ditch.
Cash, or you just like give them 2 chickens and here's some rebar and here's 2 pounds of aluminum cans crushed. I mean, you just like barter with whatever you got. Some dental floss.
I don't know, but remind me never to barter with you. Here's some crushed aluminum cans.
It just
and 2 chickens. Save my children.
It goes to show you that in other parts of the world, this is a part of their folklore, and they wholeheartedly believe it. So I looked on the article to try to find the link to this crowdfunding website for the sorcerer, because I was going to donate $5, you know, GoFundMe.
Yeah.
I'll help the villagers out.
What happened?
I couldn't find it. So they said that they're crowdfunding it, but I couldn't find any links to it.
You want
to
help a village out?
Speaking of crowdfunding, let's talk about that. Crowdfunding does a lot of good things. I want to voice this because this really brings something up to me that reminded me of
people
something.
Don't tune in to listen to you grab.
I know, but this is something I'm sure that some of them have noticed as well. Crowdfunding, I believe, is for helping people. Like somebody needs a heart transplant, so they'll start a GoFundMe to help them try to do that.
A bacchiotomy.
Or Joey wants to go help poor kids in Haiti, so he needs this amount of money. They start a GoFundMe or something to help the guy. I'm for all that. But I get on there sometimes, and I've seen people where, like, my truck's engine's broke, and I want a GoFundMe to help me get a new engine for my pickup. I'm like, well, that's not really everybody's problem.
Like, you can't do that?
Like, you need to go take care of that yourself. Or what was the guy? I can't remember his name, but like, my electricity bill's due. I don't have any money, so I'm going to start a GoFundMe to pay my electric bill. And I'm like, well, no, that's not what it's for. I've got a leak. My roof's leaking. I don't know what to do. Meanwhile, if you look at the guy's Facebook, he just like lounges around all day with his cats. I'm like, well, that's why you don't have any money. It's not our responsibility to help you out.
Here we go.
Because you want to hang out with your cats.
Here we go.
I don't think that's what crowdfunding is for. Like, if you mean you wanted to film a movie.
Expanded perspectives at yahoo.com. Subject matter, Kyle's rant.
I could be wrong. I'm just saying, I don't believe that that's what it's for. It's just helping you do something. I mean, there's like a nice jacket. I would like a new Patagonia jacket. Should I start a GoFundMe to help me do that?
Maybe so.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my car needs registration, inspections due soon. Oh, and I need some new tires for the expedition. Do I need to start a GoFundMe for that?
You might try it, sounds like.
I don't think that's what it's meant to do. And I would feel bad taking money from people for that, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a guy, there's a podcaster. I won't reveal his name. But this guy's hitting people up for money every day. And I'm not exaggerating. Every day, there's some calamity that's befallen him. And he's looking for money.
Calamity.
And I'm always like, look, if you're in that bad of a situation, stop podcasting.
There's a calamity.
Sell your equipment. You're bragging about the new iOS device. Don't buy that. Pay your mortgage. You know what I mean?
That's if it's all true. This is all alleged.
Well, that's exactly right.
This is all alleged. He's making it up, folks.
No,
I'm
not making it up. The guy that's claiming these you know, travesties that's befalling him is making it up. Because nobody can have that many problems. You know the type?
Yeah, I'm aware.
Yeah, I wouldn't go through with that. If that was me and there was just something
so grumpy,
horribly bad that happened to me every day, I think I'd probably just end it, folks. I don't know what I'd do, but I'd probably just end it.
Here he goes.
Who wants to deal with that? Every day? Every day?
I don't know. Your life's about that way now, and you're still here, so it's fine. You were just complaining a minute about going through you're in the cold, you're playing baseball, you were just bitching because you had to get 2 hotel rooms. Now you got to get this thing.
First
go
world,
ahead.
I need to get a song that is first world problems. That's right. Okay, because look, I think look, it could always look, get look, worse. Okay, moving on.
I got something else here.
Another humanoid?
Not just another humanoid. Let me read this to you. It says, I experienced something in the mid-80s, something that I did not know what it was until 20 years later, when I saw Jeepers Creepers.
Oh, no.
And that's how I explain what creature I saw. I was driving from work, taking a country road. I worked evenings, late nights. I saw an object above the ground, but in the roadway on a country road coming towards me. I thought maybe an owl or something going over the road and that I'd better slow down. Then it appeared and it looked like a creature or the creature. Then it disappeared and I thought, nah. And then it just turned totally black. And all of a sudden, underneath my car, there was a thump, thump, thump. I thought I ran over something. I looked back and looked to the right and then to the left in my mirrors and turned around, looked behind me, the whole thing. And this is what the person says. I'm driving a station wagon. All of a sudden, I see arms and a hand and a wing and then the face. And the eyes were orange color, but they were human-like also and very large. And the nose looked human, but the skin, you could see through it and see the veins like leather. And its wings were leathery. It was like if you held your ear up to the light, you could see right through it a little bit. It then crawled on top, came over in front of the windshield, so I guess right there, and starts flapping its arms and wings. So it's got its arms moving, starts flapping its wings right in front of the car. Said, next thing I know, I hear another thump, thump, thump. It's now on the backside of it, on the ground. And she said, I'm still driving. I'm wondering, would it stand up? Is it okay? Said, I didn't know. I don't know. Did I hit? Did I run over something? I'm debating on what to do. It gets up, turns around. Said, it looked like it was crippled a little bit. Said, after it gets up, standing, it stretches out and then turns towards an open field that had like a big wooden railing in a pasture. She said, it flew, hit the ground again because it's kind of wobbly, got up, flew again, and then disappeared. Says, to this day, I'm still shaken up about it, and I never knew until I saw that movie. Yeah, about Jeepers Creepers. It said, now I thought, did I see that thing before they made the movie? Said, this was actually in Oregon outside of Amity. Said, I live way up in Malala, and I traveled through a lot of counties to get to my job, and I had moved, and I was driving at night. Said, honest thing was, the moon shone at certain times, and it was almost like it was brightening up so I could see it. It was on the driver's side, yeah. What? Yeah, so that's what happened back in the 80s. This person saw this Jeepers Creepers thing, hits it, and it sticks to the thump thump, and it sticks to the car, comes climbing up on the car, flaps its wings, runs over it again. It jumps up, stumbles around, flies, kind of glides, lands over, you know, like you'd think like a turkey can kind of glide, glides over the fence, lands out in the field, gets up crippled, and then runs and flies again. And this time flies and just vanishes into the darkness.
So
like a gargoyle.
Right. So what is that? How does a person see that?
Well, not just that, had a close enough encounter that you could see its eyes, see the skin. And it, now, mind you, this is also the glow off the headlights and the brightness of the moon. And this person's recounting all of this.
Right. And of course, naysayers will say, well, they're just confused to a great horned owl or something. You're like, well, that's not an owl that did that.
Yeah, that's not an owl that works that whole ways. Now, there's another one. You'll like this. It says, a few years back, 2011 or so, says I was living in the Bronx with my mom and we were outside just telling stories and laughing. She heard a strange noise, what sounded like an aircraft or a flying object cutting through the air. And at first I thought she was joking until I heard it. This thing, and said, was this, heard this thing is all it was. And it says, look, and this is what the person said, says, it looks, baby, it looks like a bat. And I was like, that's too big to be a bat. Says, then she was like, well, it must be a weather balloon. Said, this is talking about the mom. Said, then she walks back into the house strangely. So I sat down, you know, outside waiting for her to come out. She comes back out with coffee. And then I heard something cutting through the treetops. Whatever it was, it landed in my neighbor's tree. Said, now, it said, this is what it said. It had been cut back a lot, but there was enough leaves still in it. Says, it had a big thump to it when it landed. My mom ran inside when she heard it. I'm freaking out, but says, I couldn't help but keep staring. Says, now you'll like this. As I walked to the fence, I noticed that there was no wind whatsoever. And as I was trying to get a better look, a big deep breath blew into my face. I was startled and I stood back and said, if you're a man of God, show your face now. But if not, just leave, please.
As I was, hold on, let me write that down.
Yeah, yeah.
Say that again. I'm not in these notes just in case it happens.
If you're a man of God, show your face now.
Okay.
But if not, just please leave.
All right, I got it down.
Starts off real tough, falls apart at the end. And it's what it said, shocked like this. Said, as I was stepping back, I saw it. Shocked like a stunned mullet is what this person says. I love it. Says, this big wind roared up, with a huge thump, it flew into midair and says, damned, the thing looked just like Jeepers Creepers. Big, tall, dark man, big, solid built body, 7 or 8 foot tall, had wings like a bat. Says, I ran into the house and went directly to my room, laid down thinking about what I would. That's how you get away from it. Just run down and lay down. So the next morning, mom left to go to work, so I decided to rake the backyard. Then my neighbor yelled, hey, sis, what happened to you last night? And said, goes on to then said, you're lucky it didn't take you. Said he talked about an old, like old folklore, an old tale, that there was a man with wings like a bat and that he used to come around every now and again and take women back to where he lived and make them his wives. Says the way he described it was what I saw. And still to this day, I don't know for sure what or who this thing was. Yeah.
I don't even know how to, what could it be?
Look, my deal is why do they keep throwing out Jeepers Creepers?
I don't know. I wonder if the producer of Jeepers Creepers was privy to all these stories and that's what caused him to.
We always wonder those things is like, are you aware of these stories? Because I mean, there are multiples, like we said, from New Jersey, from West Virginia. You can find them, like we talked about in New Mexico, we've covered them. There are a pile that you couldn't run and jump over. West Virginia's got several. Virginia,
there's a lot of weird stuff in West Virginia. And this is another thing I've always wanted
Take
to know.
Take me home.
Oh, John Denver?
Yeah.
I wonder, like in the movie Ghostbusters, the original movie, remember when Gozer comes and he's like, you know, choose which form I'm going to take. And then Dan Aykroyd's like, oh, crap. Yeah. I accidentally thought
just
of
blink your minds, fellas. Stay blink puff, your minds.
Marshmallow man, right? So I wonder if it's like that. Say this is a demonic entity, like a demon or something.
Yeah.
And you've seen the movie Jeepers Creepers. Mm-hmm. Somehow it's able to access the inside of your brain and pull something out that terrifies you. And so that's the form it manifests.
But it doesn't explain the one from the 80s.
That's true.
Because that thing had never been seen
before.
Maybe
he saw, what's another movie with some gargoyles in it or something? Jason and the Argonauts.
It was an old gargoyle movie made, too, that was like that back then.
How does the Jeepers Creepers fly around with the cowboy hat on and never fly off? Like, how does he keep that on?
The same way that Indiana Jones kept his on with Staples, man.
I haven't seen Jeepers Creepers 3. I've seen 1 and 2. You know, oh, I know.
I've seen 2. I've seen 1 and 2 also.
There's a third one. I've never seen it.
Probably not that good.
You know a lot about actors and directors, I know, from previous shows. Do you know the man that plays Jeepers Creepers?
No, I really have no clue. Who is it?
His name's Victor Salva. That's all I know. The only reason I know is because Luke told me.
Oh, Luke would know.
Yeah, so it's probably just some guy that's his only acting career, and he's got all the makeup on anyway, so you wouldn't recognize him.
Yeah,
Victor Salva.
Here's what's weird about some of these humanoid sightings is that when you start digging into older humanoid sightings, a lot of them come more with UFO sightings.
Mm.
Even flying humanoid sightings have a lot of UFO ties with them also. Like they will see a ship or they will see something in the sky and then they see the UFO, just kind of like we've talked about then they'll see the humanoid like we've talked about with Bigfoot. As long as a Bigfoot, people have reported seeing UFOs, then seeing Bigfoot. But never this Jeepers Creepers creature. Like, I've not found any of them yet where they talk about seeing a UFO and seeing the Jeepers Creepers. And it almost feels to me, here's what's weird, is you would expect it to look so evil to have an evil feeling.
Yeah.
But you don't. But it's when people talk about seeing the black-eyed kids is when they have this incredibly terrible evil feeling.
And
so I wonder why that is.
And maybe people have been seeing this Jeepers Creepers monster forever. Because if you look at the architecture on old churches and old buildings and stuff, it looks like a winged gargoyle. Well, where did they get the idea of that from? Maybe they were seeing something similar even then.
Back then.
And
maybe that was also the idea of demons, the first thing that give people the idea of demons or like the manifestation of what their character or likeness would look like.
Well, so many of these cases when demons start coming into people's worlds is when a lot of depression, a lot of feeling bad, like, you know, you're just really in a depressed state. That's when these demons start trying to show up. Like, you never see somebody who's really happy, bawling out of control, everything's going their way, and then all of a sudden a demon showed up. It's always some sad sack where the demon shows up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I've got you someone here from Ohio. I want to read you. You're going to get a kick out of this. It took place, it says here, summer of 2016. Bat-winged man hit by delivery truck. So now we've got another one ran over. This fellow says, I had a very similar encounter with the winged creature myself and even posted the story of what happened to a group on Facebook that talks about these things. I'm 32 years old and had never seen anything supernatural or alien in my life until last summer. I had always been and still am very much a skeptic. And to this day, I try to convince myself that what I saw was actually a really big hawk or something. But I know I'm lying to myself. It was around 3:45 a.m. I'm driving west on Highway 322 towards Chesterland, Ohio. I'm driving a Freightliner box truck with a load of newspapers. In the summertime at night, there's always a layer of fog hanging down around the ground, and the moon was bright and the stars were out. So going about 50 miles an hour through the hills, I see this dark figure in the moonlight that was coming right at me. It looked huge, so I slammed the brakes on and actually ducked down instinctively because I was driving right towards it coming at my windshield level. I heard a big thud as the figure had gone over the cab and smacked right into the flat aluminum box behind the cab at probably 40 miles an hour. I kept my foot on the brake and came to a stop on the side of the road, probably about 75 yards from where the impact happened. Wondering if it had smashed in the top of the box and thinking maybe I could see what it was I hit, I got out and looked around. The box wasn't smashed in, so I walked around to the back of the truck, and that's when I saw it in the moonlight almost as clear as day. This thing was huge. I thought for sure it was dead, but all of a sudden it rolled over, and that's when I saw its bat-like wings, not bird-shaped. It rolled over and stood up on two legs and was at least 6 feet tall. The thing looked right at me with its red-orange eyes, and I was literally frozen in fear. I could not move at all. Then it spread its huge wings out, jumped up, and flew off. I ran back out to the truck and took off towards Chesterland as fast as I could and spent the rest of the night on edge and trying to rationalize what I had just saw. The closest thing I could describe it to is the Jeepers Creepers monster.
Man.
But I wasn't that close to it that I could see facial features in much detail. Just the 6 foot tall bat-winged man with orange red eyes. I do that route for work every week, and every time I go through that stretch on 322, I get uneasy, and it still freaks me out almost 6 months later. Now, here's what's really cool. Lon reached out to this guy, okay?
Yeah.
Here's the extra part. It says the truck wasn't damaged. Well, I'm assuming it's Lon, so this is what it's saying here, because it says that he responded to our inquiry. It says the truck wasn't damaged, but when I got to the gas station in Chesterland, you could see that something huge had just hit the box because there was an imprint in all the dirt and dead bugs and griminess that collects on the front of the box truck or the trailer. I wanted to try and crawl up on top of the cab to get a better look and possibly see if there were any sort of blood or hair or anything that would possibly show evidence of whatever it was, but I would have needed a ladder and someone helping me. I looked it over with a flashlight really well and didn't see anything other than the imprint. As far as the creature itself, basically the thing that stood out to me the most were its eyes. I'll never forget how much they mesmerized me with that fiery orange color. It was almost like it could see into my soul. It only lasted for a couple of seconds before it jumped up and flew off, but I did feel some sort of connection with it. I was very much afraid of it, though. I'm just about to leave for the same route I was on the night it happened. I still remember exactly where it happened. And when I go through there tonight, I'll try to find the closest crossroads or something that I can pinpoint exactly where it is on the map. So the dude still reached out to Lon. You know, they were talking back and forth about this whole deal. So that, the fact that it got hit, and the fact that he says, hey, look, this thing looks just like the Jeepers Creepers character. I'm still going back to this, like, but why?
Yeah.
Because we've talked about the gargoyles multiple times. I mean, there's another one that took place in Joplin, Missouri in the summer of 99. Same thing. People were traveling. What they end up report saying is they believed it was very similar to the Jeepers Creepers character. I mean, the more and more of these as you start there's a separation. They either look like the Mothman, but everybody keeps going back to a bat wing, which is funny they say the Mothman because the Mothman didn't look like a moth.
Yeah.
At all.
You're right.
There's bat-winged humanoid sightings in Ballinger, Texas. Same thing. They're talking about, and what does it say here? This is right, you'll like this. From October 2nd of 2017, 4 a.m. in the morning, says all the dogs are barking in the neighborhood. I have a big pit bull that was barking. Said he tried busting my fence down to go towards something. I stepped outside and heard something on the neighbor's roof scratching. lets my dog loose. Said, I've never seen him go so mad. Said, I went towards my neighbor's house from my porch and saw a man standing on their roof. Said, but when my dog started trying to jump the gate, the man flew straight up with bat-like wings. And this is what it says, reminded me of the Jeepers Creepers character.
It's over and over again, the same type of sighting. So again, what I'm saying is, are these collective thoughts of everybody who's seen these movies, it's manifesting this creature, like a tulpa, right? Or
when was Jeepers Creepers? We have to look that up. When did that one come out?
Give me a second. I'll look it up.
I'd like to know when the movie came out, because there are massive amounts of them. It does make me wonder if the man that wrote the story to Jeepers Creepers had any idea about this.
According to Google, 2001.
Okay. Well, here's one right here that's funny that they were talking about that took place in northern Indiana, all right, back in the summer of 2000. And it says there's a park or a dam in a town by the name of Goshen, Indiana, that they're talking about. And some of these I may have covered in the past shows, but what I'm getting at now is now I'm seeing the links of Jeepers Creepers. And anyway, it's reported here that what this person saw says it had a scary similar resemblance to the creeper in mid-flight with its wings in the movie Jeepers Creepers.
And I have to make a correction, folks. Luke is wrong. According to Google, the actor that actually plays the creeper is a guy named Jonathan Breck.
Jonathan Breck is the man that plays the... Did you look up the guy that Luke said he was? Maybe he's playing
Victor Salva.
Else.
I haven't looked that guy up, no.
To see what... That's who the real Jeeper Creeper is Victor Salva.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's interesting because the Creeper, as depicted in the movie, looks kind of like the Hat Man as well.
He does, yeah.
He also looks like a scarecrow. Remember, I think that's one of the films. He's pretending to be a scarecrow. And which one is it? The one where they're on the school bus? I think that's part
the second
two.
One. Yeah, yeah. I like the second one better than the first one.
And then there's every 26 years.
Yeah.
There's some in the fall harvest or something, that's when the creeper comes.
Now you got me wanting to watch it again. Now you got me wanting to go check that whole thing out again.
You should watch it. Speaking of watching stuff, is there any, I've been watching the latest season of True Detective.
Good. Do you still like it?
I do like it. I'm about halfway through it. The first season was very good. The second season was terrible.
Yep.
But this season's pretty darn good. I really enjoy it. I mistakenly accidentally watched the Leaving Neverland documentary about Michael Jackson. changed my opinion. I don't know that I can continue to listen to his music if what is being claimed is true. Trying to think of something else. Oh, there's a new Robin Hood movie that's out. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched that yet. I think the kids want to see it. The new Captain Marvel is out. You're big into those types of movies.
Yeah,
Marvel
I like movies. To see
so you haven't seen, you're going
to
go see that?
I haven't seen it. Yeah, I need to see that. I haven't got a chance to go to the movies. Like I said, my wife and daughter go out of town for this whole week coming up. So I need to find some movie. They would kill me. My daughter would probably be really mad.
If you went without?
Yeah. Now she can go without me with her guy friends or her girlfriends. You know, they'll all get together in big groups and all go to the movies together.
But if
I snuck off without her, I'd probably get in trouble.
Well, I'm glad I'm not alone because my wife's the same way.
Yeah.
Like a movie can be available on whatever platform for weeks. And then it'll be like a Saturday night. We'll have dinner and she'll be like, hey, you want to watch so-and-so? I'll be like, oh, I saw it. What? You saw it? Yeah, I watched it 4 days ago. Well, why would you watch it without me? I was like, well, I didn't know I had to clear it with you. Well, I can't.
I didn't know you wanted to see it.
I'm going to turn on Northwood's Law. Is that all right? I mean, you know, I was like, I didn't know you wanted to watch it.
Yeah.
But that's funny that happens to you too.
And for those of you that didn't know, whenever we were talking about Fred Bear's birthday, I'll go ahead and give you a quick rundown. Fred Bear he's considered the father of modern bow hunting. He's the founder of Bear Archery. I believe the dude's made tons of films. You can see a bunch of his old stuff on there. He passed away in 1988 is whenever he finally died. He had been suffering from emphysema and all that. And I think he ended up having a massive heart attack while he was 86 years old. But, he was a really interesting guy, but he's the dude that, of course, he didn't invent the compound bow, but he did make a bunch of them and start really pumping them out and actually had a patent issued for different bows. And there was a lot of stuff that he had patents for and all these things. So that's who we're talking about he's Uncle Fred, Papa Fred, because that's what they would call him, was Papa Bear, is what everybody would talk about it. But he founded a bunch of stuff and a big deal. And like I said, Bear Archery is still going today and all that. But
and how did he ever kill all those animals? And he didn't have scent lock on or this expensive fancy camouflage. I mean,
He hunted in a flannel shirt and wool pants lots of times. I mean, literally wool slacks is what he'd hunt in. Because if you look at the old pictures, he's got, looks like work boots, wool slacks with suspenders and a flannel shirt and a recurve bow.
Seemed to work for him.
It worked very well for him because he was a hell of a dude. Yeah. So yeah, I need to tell this. I'm going to tell the story a little bit about, I'll do that on one of the next shows coming up.
About which one?
I'm going to talk about Ishii. Because it's a really interesting story. I'll get on and talk about Ishii, and then we'll talk about Arthur Young and Saxton Pope and how they met Ishii and what that led to, and we'll get into a whole bunch of stuff like that.
Yeah, and before we get out of here, I've been getting lots of emails. Thank you, folks, from people talking about Apocalypto. I've had lots of people tell me that they've run into the same problem, that they've been searching and trying to help us out, and they haven't been able to find anywhere to get it. A couple of people email saying that they have a copy on DVD. If we want it, they'll send it to us.
Well, and like some of them can find them like used copies on Amazon and eBay and stuff like that. But it's funny that you can't go anywhere and buy it like at a normal, like you would think Walmart, you could go get it, or Best Buy, you could get it. Yeah. It's hard to find.
I mean, it's
costly.
Blacklisted. It's incredible. Yeah. Who knew that it was quietly being blacklisted like that?
It's pretty crazy.
But it is. And, I don't know why that particular movie, but I've heard the rumors, you know, about Mel Gibson and things. But anyways, it's pretty interesting. I'm going to have to dig out an old DVD player. I think I have one in one of the hall closets, and I might just have to buy one off of eBay because, hey, if they're this rare now, just think about 20 years from now. It might be really rare. It might be worth a lot of money.
That's true. That's very true.
Also, don't forget about our sponsor, Robinhood. Remember, if you sign up now, you'll get free stock to use on their app. You just have to go to expanded.robinhood.com. If you have any stories of your own you'd like to share with me and Cam, don't hesitate. Email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. Don't forget about Elite. There's extra shows over there every month. You have to go to the website, expandedperspectives.com. Click on the Elite tab, sign up, and you'll get access to those new episodes as well as the entire back catalog. Hope everybody out there has a good week. Stay safe. Till next time, I'm Kyle Filson. He's Cam Hale.
Peace, y'all.
Choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with Smart Card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.